Hey team, welcome to Rewriting Wellbeing, the Teacher's Health Podcast, the show that helps you thrive and not just survive, both in and out the classroom. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. You are joined as always by me, your host, Charlie Burley, the Teacher's Health Coach. I hope you are doing really well today and you've had a great week so far. Today, I want to talk to you about how I learned to actually enjoy exercise. Now, I wanted to record this episode because I've been having a few conversations, both with newer members of the team and with people on Instagram and Facebook and things, about exercise, finding something you enjoy and how to be consistent with it. And I've been through quite a journey when it comes to my mindset around exercise, and I am now in a place where I could be very, very consistent and it doesn't feel really like hard work. Obviously, there are days where your energy is low and your focus is low or other things take priority. But generally speaking, I'm in a pretty good place, both with my relationship with food and my relationship with exercise. And I wanted to share how I got to that point because it certainly hasn't always been this way. So for a really, really, really long time, I only exercised to look a certain way. This was about losing weight, building muscle, looking a certain way in my clothes. And all the focus then was on the result, basically how I looked, and not at all on the process. But the problem with that is with exercise, the result, getting the changes, whether it is to lose weight or to build muscle or something like that, takes a really bloody long time. It takes months and months and years to see changes in our bodies. It doesn't take a matter of days or weeks. And if you're someone who's ever struggled to be consistent, a big part of that is going to be because you didn't see the change you were hoping to in a short enough period of time. So this means that enjoying the process is absolutely vital. But for me, my entire mindset around exercise completely changed when I did three really simple things. So the first one is that I stopped thinking about exercise and instead I started thinking about movement and training instead. Now, I know that sounds a little bit like I'm sort of splitting hairs and it's all about semantics, but I'm going to explain this a little bit more. We talk about this a lot in the team. For me, exercise always had connotations of either trying to burn calories or fitting a t-shirt or maybe spending hours on a treadmill in the gym, or even sacrificing things that I'd rather be doing, you know, spending time with friends and things like that. So my mindset, my relationship, my connection with exercise has and is still now very, very negative. The only difference is that now I don't exercise. I am either moving my body or I am training instead. And when I started to focus on movement, I felt like I had a stronger purpose, particularly with the training. And sometimes, not all the time, I was training for something specific. So maybe it was to be able to run a 5K or to be strong enough to lift a certain weight in the gym. And the big thing here is that I wasn't focused on an aesthetic-based goal. It wasn't for me anymore about what I looked like. Instead of focusing on being an ornament, I focused on being an instrument. And suddenly I was training for my health and my fitness and my strength, not for today, but for myself in 10 years time, 20 years time, 50 years time, not for how I looked, you know, the coming weekend or for a beach holiday. And that made a massive, massive difference for me. And in terms of movement, by focusing on the movement side of things, so for me, movement is literally going out for a walk most days, if not every day. That took a ton of pressure off. I no longer felt like every single day I had to train, you know, run, gym, swim, go on the bike, do whatever, which were the things that I enjoy. I no longer felt that I had to train that day. Instead, if I, you know, needed a rest day or I needed to recover, or I was just mentally or physically tired or stressed, and remember, all of your stress goes into the same bucket, right? So your movement and training might be really, really great for you, but it's still a form of stress on the body. And if school is really, really full on, or you know, you're grieving something, or you've had a bereavement, or there are family issues, or financial pressures, or stress, or whatever, all of those things go into the same bucket. So on the days that I woke up and I thought, yeah, you know what, I'm just not feeling it today, I'm a bit achy, you know, I need a bit of rest, I would then say, well, you know what, I can just go for my morning walk, and that can literally be my movement for the entire day. I don't need to go and train as well. And by focusing on training and movement rather than exercise, I completely shifted how I thought about it. And still, when I think about exercise, still to this day, I think about you know, being forced to run around the field in secondary school PE. I think about the rain and the cold and all that kind of stuff. I think about running on the treadmill in the gym with no breakfast in me after a workout because I was told that's what I needed to do to lose body fat. Like, those are all the connotations that I still hold for exercise, but now the difference is I no longer exercise. So secondly then, and again, this sounds really, really obvious, I chose to do things that I personally enjoyed. So for me, this meant getting outside for loads of gentle walks in nature, whilst listening to podcasts or my favourite music, things like cycling with friends, doing little home workout circuits, or maybe trying yoga every once in a while, or having a period of time where I get quite into yoga. I go with what I enjoy because I know for me, my brain and my body, there is no right or wrong. I just need to move my body, that's it. And I can do that in any way that I want to. And I do these things simply because I enjoy them. I enjoy the process. And for you listening to this, you need to find what you enjoy. Life is way too short to be doing all these workouts and these types of movement that you absolutely hate. You know, if you're trying to do couch to 5K, but it's not the right thing for you, or you are, you know, you're on the Joe Wicks app and you're just not enjoying it, don't do it. Find something that you love. Life is way too short, right? Time is constantly running out. You haven't got the time to spend on things that you hate doing. It's not worth it, particularly when it's something that's trying to build you up and make you better, right? I personally believe that everyone can find something they like. And I know that you might be listening to this now and that might not sit well with you. That might sort of, you know, rub you up the wrong way a little bit. That might feel like it's causing some friction. And if that is the case, I would urge you to look into that and explore why that might be. But I do believe that everyone can find something they enjoy doing. You know, it could be walking, it could be couch to 5K, it could be a park run, it could be joining a sports team, it could be hiking, gymnastics, spin classes, resistance training, you know, bodyweight workouts, running, cycling, swimming, dancing, water polo, playing with your children around the garden, climbing. Any of these things are forms of movement, and lots of them can also be made into forms of training as well. And training, the difference between movement and training is that with training you have, you know, it's progressive, it is purposeful, and it's positive. Training is building you up, whereas for me, exercise was always breaking me down, and I never really got into it, never had a good relationship with it. So thirdly and finally then, I started focusing on how I felt and not how I looked. And that was a real game changer for me because so much of my drive behind exercise was purely based on insecurity and trying to change me and mostly make me a smaller person, make me have less body fat. And that was not strong enough. That goal, that focus, that drive was not strong enough. It was born from security. I was trying to use this dark energy. We talk a lot in the team about light and dark energy. I was trying to use this dark energy. It was coming from a place of lack. It was coming from a place of not being enough. And for me, that just didn't work. And for a lot of people, it might work for a very short period of time, but it ain't going to keep you going for decades. And really, that's what it's all about. Without going into too much of a rant, I'm going to be careful here. The health and fitness industry is really, really good, and the diet industry is really, really good at making us feel terrible about how we look. And when you think about it, it's literally what both of those industries run on. All of their marketing is making you feel like you are not enough, you are lacking something, you are missing something, you need to change because you are not good enough. And I know for lots of us as teachers who struggle with imposter syndrome, who struggle with comparison as well, we already feel that professionally, right? And we don't need any more of that in our personal lives and in our headspace. Just to give this a bit of context, Britain's diet industry, so that's like the books, the DVDs, magazines, subscription programs, your apps, gym memberships, supplements, you know, quote unquote superfoods, all of that, its net worth in the UK as of 2022 was £2 billion a year. For a little bit of comparison, that is only a tiny bit less of the budget that the NHS is spending on accident and emergency services across the whole country. The NHS spend £2.33 billion on that. So we are spending almost as much money on the diet industry as the NHS is spending on accident and emergency. It's mental, isn't it? Absolutely mental. When I started doing things for how they mentally made me feel, rather than just how I looked, everything changed. And I would really, really encourage you to focus on how you feel before and after your movement or training, instead of how you look at the weekend or by the end of the week or what the scale says. I would really, really urge you to do that. If you are on a weight loss journey for health reasons, mentally or physically, of course, you know, I fully, fully support that. And lots of the team are on a form of weight maintenance or weight loss journey. So it's a big part of what we do here. However, what we need to be careful of is that we're not using exercise as the primary focus of using exercise is to lose weight, because it's actually a very inefficient way to lose body fat. It really is. Diet always has to come first in that regard. And your behaviours, your mental health and your mindset and your relationship with food has to come first and foremost, right? Movement and training would only be something to sort of supplement or complement that. When I studied for my MHEC qualification, so that is the mental health and exercise coaching qualification. What I learned during my studies, and that was a year-long course, what I learned during that was a lot more in-depth information about the amazing impacts that moving more can have on the brain. So just to give you a quick sort of run through of what I mean when I say focusing on how I feel instead of how I look, just to give you a quick overview of what I mean and how that actually works, because this is the point that I really want you to take away from today. Focusing on how you feel and not how you look. So we know that when we go out in nature, it can massively impact our mental health, right? And this is primarily through the exposure to nature, the sounds, the smells, basically all of our five senses, and sunlight as well. And these two things in combination can increase our levels of serotonin. And that chemical is really, really important. It's responsible for everything from happiness to regulating your body temperature. And if we don't get enough of that serotonin in our brain, we might experience things like low mood, irritability, low energy, overthinking. And getting outdoors and getting outside, not in an urban environment so much, but in more of the natural world, can massively help that. And it can also reduce our levels of cortisol, which is our stress hormone. And alongside serotonin, going outside, moving and training can help to increase, and even moving and training indoors, to be honest, can help to increase our levels of dopamine. Dopamine is the chemical in our brain that is responsible for motivation, concentration, things like that. And when this chemical drops, we might see things like lethargy, indifference, procrastination, even anxiety and depression. However, we get dopamine release when we do something. Basically, we say we're going to do something and we do it, right? So we have focus time, we set ourselves a task and we complete it. Dopamine is there to keep us going and keep us motivated. A long, long time ago, it would have kept us hunting for animals or, you know, going out in the rain to gather some berries because, you know, we felt good when we had done that task, right? It was our motivating tool. And also, when you think about dopamine as well, it is released in anticipation of the reward. So when you are setting up for your workout, maybe you're setting up and you're putting your yoga mat out and you're getting your bottle of water and you're putting your leggings on, you're already starting to see dopamine increase in the brain, which is really, really powerful. And the third and final one I want to talk to you about is oxytocin. Now, oxytocin is it's been dubbed the love hormone, and it's responsible for things like bonding and empathy and connection and that feeling of basically belonging to a tribe. And movement, training, all of that stuff is amazing for connecting with other people. We can join clubs, we can go out with our friends, we can go out with our loved ones, we can take our dog out. Spending time with any of those people is going to increase your oxytocin, and that is going to allow you to feel comforted, and it's going to basically be an antidote to loneliness and isolation, which is one of the biggest predictors of things like early onset dementia and, you know, unexpected or early death. You know, loneliness causes a huge series of issues in the body. However, in our really hyper-connected world, you know, where we can work out on our own in a room, just looking at a screen, sometimes that can be lost. So I would always encourage you to see if you can move and train with other people. But through applying those three changes, so thinking about exercise instead, thinking about movement and training instead of exercise, doing things that I actually enjoyed, focusing on the mental benefits of how I felt instead of how I looked, that allowed me to actually really, really get into it and be far more consistent with my movement. It suddenly didn't feel like a chore anymore, and it was something that I really, really wanted to do. So if you are someone who does struggle with their relationship with exercise, if you always find yourself yo-yoing and struggling to be consistent with your movement, if you're getting a bit frustrated and fed up with yourself and you've tried to change this time and time and time again, I would really encourage you to think about those three things. So Think about movement and training, not exercise. Do what you enjoy and focus on the mental benefits and how you feel instead of just how you look. And if you are someone who fits that category, if that is you, if that is exactly how you're feeling at the moment, I'd love to chat with you and see if coaching might be the right thing for you. So if you do want to chat about that, drop me a message anywhere or send me an email, and you can email me at charlie@theteachershealthcoach.co.uk, all one word. And we can have a conversation about where you are, where you'd like to be, and how I can support you best in getting there. Anyway, team, I really hope you've enjoyed this episode. I really hope it's been insightful for you, and I'll see you in the next one. Take care.